Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
And Fáilte Asha Reach. Now, this week, Ireland's oldest musical society, they're staging My Fair Lady at the National Concert Hall. What a beautiful place to put it. The Rathmines and Rathgar Musical Society, although people know it as the Orador, was founded in 1913. Some of the alumni include Terry Wogan and Fawlty Towers star David Kelly. Gary Montaigne is the Orador's artistic director. He's here. You're directing this, aren't you? Welcome, Gary.
I am directing it and in it.
You are Henry Higgins.
For my sins, yeah.
Good Lord. And Carla Tracy is the lovely Eliza Doolittle.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank
good morning
you.
To you both. Thanks a million for coming in. Carla, were you one of the all singing, all dancing children when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely. I came out of the womb singing, I did, Oliver. I've been singing my whole entire life.
When you were a kid, what would you have been singing around the house?
If anyone came into the kitchen, it was Carla was up on the fireplace singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
That
was how it started, yeah. And that was where my love of Julie Andrews came from, and I've just admired her as an artist.
It was in the family.
It wasn't
singing
really.
Oh, it wasn't at all.
No, Mum can't hold a tune. My granny can't hold a tune, but my great granny could. But it skipped a few generations. So it came out in me.
she was an opera singer, was she?
Yeah, she had a beautiful operatic voice, and she wanted to train at the time, but there was troubles in the north where the music was happening. So unfortunately, that didn't happen for her. But I'm hopefully living her dream for her.
You're making up for it.
Yeah.
And did you go through all the school musicals? This was your dream,
did.
Obviously.
Yeah, I started with Innovations Theatre School, and I did the singing and the dancing and the acting, and then I went on to study one to one with Denise Brennan. I did singing lessons every week on a Thursday at 5 o'clock. It was my favourite time of the week.
Where were those lessons?
They were in Arklow, my
in
hometown.
Arklow.
Yeah, that's where I'm from.
Arklow was like one of those places that, you know,
it's in the water.
It's people unknown, isn't it? You kind of get slagged by people in Wicklow and in Wexford.
I know.
What's going on?
I know, I'm in between. It's great.
But for you, it's home.
It's great. Perfect. It's home.
Gary, your background in, how did you get into the musical societies?
Oh, my dad, Camillus, was sort of one of the lead tenors in the R&R, and I, you know, my first memories of the R&R were sneaking into the Gaiety. And I think I must have sat through every single performance he ever did. It was, mad. I was a very strange child, Oliver. Very strange. So that's where I started. And then from there, went on to, there was a gang called the Young People's Theatre Group in those days, which was Anne Kavanagh, was... she organized that, and they were sort of the only, at the time anyway, the only musical sort of group that did, you know, the likes of Oklahoma and stuff like that. And so I joined there when I was about 12, I think, 12, 13. And then also in school, we used to do a Shakespeare drama every year, and that was sort of the big event of the year. And when you got to second year, you were allowed audition for it. So I couldn't wait to get to second year. And I do those. So yeah, I was sort of steeped in it from very, very early. I remember both my parents actually doing shows in the old Harold's Cross Musical Society donkeys years ago, and I was only 6 or 7 or 8. And it's gas. You know, if somebody asked me, what did you do yesterday, Gary? I couldn't tell you. But asked me, I have pictures in my mind of Harold's Cross Musical Society and seeing these costumes and lights. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose it was inevitable I was going to get sort of bitten by the bug at some stage.
I think we can even tell from your speaking voice, you can hit those notes way down.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Well, it's a bit early, Oliver. Yeah, a bit early.
Oh, we wouldn't dare. There'd be hours of voice warming up and so on that would have to occur. And you've done it as an amateur for...
Well, I suppose, I've done both. It's the old story, isn't it? People sort of talk to you about, you know, you get the phone call, and I was doing Yeoman of the Guard in the Gaiety with the R&R. Oh, I think it was back in early 90s. And I always remember this guy coming in after the matinee, you know, and he just stage door, and he says, Gary, I was just wondering, have you any interest in coming out to London next week when this finishes? And like all of these things, you sort of think, grand, yeah. So I gave him my number, and then lo and behold, a week later, I got the phone call. Could I come over to London and audition? And I went over and ended up going over for a couple of years with the Doyley Cart Opera Company and singing a couple of roles with them. Shadbolt, which is the one I'd been playing in the Gaiety, and Pooh Bah and the Mikado. And yeah, so like lots of people in the R&R, it very much is a springboard
for lots of people.
So,
and the R&R, it's massive history, 1913. Unbroken performances.
We still have one person in the cast who we say she was there in the original one. No, I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any names. But yeah, 1913. And I think there was one break. I'm not sure about this, but I think there was one break. And of course, you know, around the time of, I think it was World War II or something like that.
So but they went through the rising, yeah, the First World War. It took the Second World War to take a week off.
Like it's part of the tradition, isn't it? Dublin tradition. And not only Dublin tradition, like it's part of, I always have to laugh at the fact that when box office opens for this show or for the November show in the concert hall, the first thing that sells out always is the matinee, because there's people coming from all over the country and they come up in the train, they go to see their show, they have a bit of shopping, they have a few jars or whatever, and then go back in the evening. So you can never get, like, you go on to now, you, I mean, I haven't gone online, but I can guarantee you there won't be a seat for the matinee.
That's on Saturday.
Yeah.
The matinee. I love a good matinee myself. Camille, you were telling us about the one-on-one training then, but you've also gone to college and studied classical music, Carla.
That's correct, yeah. I went down the classical route for college, and when I graduated, I was kind of at a stage where I wanted to explore different avenues.
Yeah.
So I went down the musical theatre route, which was very unexpected, but I found a whole new world of love in the musical theatre scene.
Was it unexpected because you were expected to go into opera, I presume?
I was. And I suppose at the end of the degree, we had been through COVID time, so a lot of the performance aspect was actually through Zoom, which was just so challenging. So I got to the end of it and I thought, I just fancy a bit of a change. But in saying that, I'm so grateful for that classical training now, because it's lended so much to the roles like Eliza Doolittle, that is that more classical musical theatre style.
You know,
I did Phantom, I did Christine last year in the National Opera House with the Wexford Light Opera, and that was really, that really kind of catapulted me into the,
that's a hard role,
into the pro gigs. Yeah. It was a tough one, but I tell you, Eliza Doolittle now, she's
there's accents and everything involved, you know. Maybe you're thinking, I should have stuck with the opera, I don't have to, you know,
maybe.
All the spoken word bit as well.
Yeah.
And tell us about, so you went to the TU, it was where you did the classical opera training.
The conservatory.
But you got professional opportunities as well along the way.
Yeah, well, only recently I was involved with Irish Affair, which is a new musical by Stuart Brayson, and it's actually based on the true historic events of the Feather Don Sea boycott, which was the first marriage of a Catholic and Protestant in County Wexford.
Yeah.
So this is all based on a true story, and I had the wonderful opportunity to work alongside Deirdre Masterson of IMT and Stuart Brayson. We were in the National Opera House. And it was wonderful. And so we did that in June 2024 as a kind of a workshop style. Mm. And then The writers went away then and kind of developed the story. More songs were introduced, and we performed it again then this year in June in the O'Reilly Theatre in the National Opera House with Sir Tim Rice as our executive producer.
So Tim Rice, he was the producer. People know him from Andrew Lloyd Webber. He's collaborated with the Jesus and the Amazing Technicolor.
That's right.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor, Dreamcoat, and other things. You get to meet him and work with him?
Yeah, well, it was wonderful to have him involved. I explained to some of my friends who maybe aren't in the musical theatre world, they said, who's Tim? Who's Sir Tim Rice? And I said, girls, it's like Beyonce walking into the room. I said, that's the level of excitement that we had meeting Sir Tim.
He didn't make you call him Sir Tim, did he?
No, he didn't.
No, we don't have those yet.
No.
Thank God for that. That's why I thought the Beyonce thing was about. He demanded.
No, not
a diva.
No.
But he produced it. And how did he get involved in this? Because it's such an Irish story, such a Wexford story.
So he was our executive producer. Our producer was Deirdre Masterson.
Yeah.
And actually, so the writer is Stuart Brayson. And Stuart and Tim go way back. They actually did a musical together called From Here to Eternity. So they worked on that years ago. And that was a huge success on Broadway. So when a new musical is in development, it needs investment. So Sir Tim was brought in with his team of creatives, and they watched the show for all of the performances. And so I'm not sure what's to come of it yet. I think that's all still in talks at the moment.
Wow.
But the role itself was fab, and to have such a local story on stage was very special.
So you were Sheila Cloney, is that?
Yes, Sheila Kelly, and then she married Sean Cloney.
Oh, she married Sean Cole. It's an incredible story.
It is.
Late 50s.
Fascinating.
And the parish priest told Sheila, she had to raise her kids as Catholics.
That's
even
right.
Though she'd married a Protestant. Yeah. And she refused.
She was a strong
she took
woman.
A stand.
She was a strong woman, she was. And we were very lucky and privileged to have some of her family members of the Cloney family in the audience with us. So
probably still raw for in
yeah,
their memories.
It was very important. I know our producer, Deirdre Masterson, liaised with the family and they were involved in quite a lot of the production side of things. But it's a very sensitive thing.
It is, and she leaves town, doesn't she? And
she
the parish priest launches his boycott against the Protestant community,
correct.
Which would be quite sizable in Wexford. And the bishop.
And there's still
got
people there
well.
That have been that were involved directly that were able to tell us all sorts of stories.
I didn't know. I don't know if you know this, Gary, that featheredism was meant as a boycott along religious lines. It became a term in the 50s, particularly in the British press, because it obviously made headlines over there. And this is a true story. That's
true story.
Musicals are good ways to tell these kind of
tough
stories, aren't they?
They are, and the songs are beautiful. Really, really lovely.
Was it a kind of an emotional story to perform, I'd imagine?
It was, and it was challenging for me from the point of view that, you know, Sheila was a mother. I'm not. So it was a lovely challenge to get into those shoes and really kind of put myself in that situation, which was difficult, but through, you know, working with other fabulous cast members, we all really made it work. So I look forward to see what's on the horizon for it.
How long do you know this man, Gary, now?
I met him this morning. No, I'm joking. We commenced rehearsals 5 weeks ago for My Fair Lady. So that was my first encounter with Gary. But I've heard so much about him.
We met at the audition.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, you have to audition.
Brief.
The or not doesn't just accept anyone, darling. But you decided you wanted to get in and do an or not production.
Yes. So David Hayes is our fabulous musical director. And I've worked with Dave on lots of projects now, but he gave me a call and he said, Carla, I think you should come in and audition for this. So I said, well, what is it? And it was My Fair Lady in the National Concert Hall with the renowned Oran Orr. And I said, oh, I have to put my name in the hat for that. So I'm delighted. It's iconic.
It's iconic and hugely competitive, Gary, to get in.
Look,
to get the role.
I honestly think, and I'm not exaggerating, we had over 40 applications to audition for the role of Eliza alone. So, yeah, but then there's amazing talent in this country at the moment, as we all know.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that I know Carla is probably at the beginning of her journey, unlike some of the rest of us. And if it's, she'll get all embarrassed now, but I don't think I've ever come across anybody who can sing the role as perfectly as her, who acts it with such difference and such trueness, and she just has it all. And I know that this is going to be possibly one of your last gigs in Ireland before you go to other places, but this lady is going to be a star. I can absolutely guarantee you that.
We can kind of tell the minute she walked in, to be honest.
Can you? Yeah. I'm just too used to her now, you see.
No, but this is the last chance, isn't it, to see the production, see her in a production?
Absolutely, before she goes off to other parts.
That is the hope
in London.
That is the big dream. I'd love to do it, and I think, you know, I did actually a showcase in the Sugar Club recently, under IMT, and that was kind of basically a platform for me to showcase who I am and what I do to prospective agents and management. So
that sounds terrifying.
It was terrifying, but it was a lovely experience.
What's IMT, by the way?
It's Irish College of Musical Theatre with Deirdre Masterson. So she very kindly.
So they invite all of these agents and theatre people across.
We worked with Jealous Town Recording Studios. So Stuart Gray, and I had David Ray as my musical director. Many people will know David. He was fabulous, along with their wonderful band, Steve Milne, Niall Casey, Eric Yore. And we had the expertise of Billy Farrell as well in there.
Oh, you're a proper lovey now. You'll name everybody.
Is there anyone you left out, Carla?
Let me just check my notes.
Check your notes there.
Not at all. But no, it was a really special night. And it was lovely because in musicals and productions, you know, you're under your director or your producer. Whereas with this, it was my favourite songs, the way I wanted to do them.
Yes,
it was really lovely. It was a lovely opportunity.
The ones you have absolutely perfected.
Yes.
Well, we're excited to see your future career, but in the meantime, people can enjoy you at the National Concert Hall. It's starting this week. It starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, we open tomorrow, and it's a very short run when we're closing on Saturday evening.
So, two shows on Saturday.
We'll be wrecked. So get your tickets. National Concert Hall. It's well worth it. And you know, as I say, the R&R non-funded, completely and utterly relies.
So everybody on stage are not being paid. It's all the technical people.
No, never.
That's amazing, because it's such hard work.
Well, it is, but the social element, I think, for most people is massive. And, you know, and also the satisfaction.
Better than a dating app, I understand.
I don't know about that. Well, yeah, I mean, like when you look at over
how
the
long
years,
are you at your missus?
Oh, Lord God. I met Anne when I was 17 on the first day of rehearsals for Oklahoma. And I walked in, myself and my mate Ray came from one side of the room. We were with a certain class in the Young People's Theatre Group. The other class joined us and we both saw these two girls. This sounds daft, but it's absolutely true. We both saw these two girls on the other side of the room and we both went, God, they're lovely. Yeah? And we both ended up marrying two best friends. I think, what, maybe 6-7 years later. So there you go.
There you go.
So it's not just in fairy stories. It actually does
Carla,
happen.
We won't ask you the personal detail, but I'm thinking this career, if you're not already spoken for
me. Oh,
Orandor.ie for tickets.
No, National Concert Hall.
NCH.ie. Thank you, Gary.
Get in there quick.
Montaigne and Carla Tracy, thank you both so much.
Thank you for having
us. Enjoy every minute of it.
Loved it. Thank you.
Back after these with Dobbo.
Email oliver@rte.ie.